ladies and gentlemen, recording from Los Angeles, California. Welcome to another edition of the one and only podcast known to the world as Sean's Sports Stop, where Sean Teplitsky gives his unique opinion on the biggest news stories in sports.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of my podcast, Sean's Sports Stop, where your boy reports the biggest news in sports and gives his very unique opinion on all the stories, as legendary UFC ring announcer Bruce Buffer just told you. But what he did not tell you, and I don't blame him for this, what he didn't tell you was that I'm also going to be covering the news results and future matchups of the Los Angeles sports teams. It is Friday, February 8th, 2019, not 18. Been over 2 months, and I'm still not used to that. Like I said, I'm going to get used to it. You know, when I'm going to get used to it, it's going to be almost 2020. So, you know, so the big news that we're covering today, the Memphis Grizzlies will retire Marc Gasol's number after trading him to the Toronto Raptors. The Anthony Davis will have a minutes limit when he will be playing for the New Orleans Pelicans this season. The Boston Celtics GM Danny Ainge said that the Celtics and Kyrie Irving are engaged and he believes that they will get married on July 1st. Obviously, that's a metaphor. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are reportedly waiting for the other one to sign. Magic Johnson will address the Los Angeles Lakers because of all the trade rumors, you know, being around the team in Philadelphia. Bryce Harper and the San Francisco Giants reportedly have mutual interest. LeBron James was asked about all the trades happening in the Eastern Conference with teams believing that they can be the team that comes out of the East. And he said, they ain't got to go through me. Floyd Mayweather said that he could get a $1 billion fight contract from the UFC. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields being ruled eligible by NCAA. Kevin Love making his return after 50 games versus the Washington Wizards. And New Orleans Pelicans fans booing Anthony Davis in his first game since his injury and the whole trade deadline situation. But before I get into all of those juicy stories, I want to say every episode of my podcast is available on every podcast platform that includes iTunes and Spotify, so check it out. Visit my website at seansportsstop.com for three major things: to see which famous athletes I've interviewed, for access to all episodes, and press on the My Blog page. And you can read articles that I've written. I posted one just a couple days ago, the most recent one, titled Why the Lakers and Dodgers Need to Make a Big Move Now. It was a pretty cool article. And yeah, so the last thing, yeah, also, if you enjoy my podcast, feel free to leave a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps me out. And subscribe on iTunes, it helps out a lot. And the last thing I want to say is I want to thank Crimson IT for sponsoring this podcast episode. Crimson IT is a Los Angeles-based managed IT services company that specializes in ultra-reliable and highly secure IT services for the small and medium-sized companies. If you would like to see if any of your company email and passwords have been stolen on the internet, reach out to them. And for listeners of my podcast, they will run a free scan on the dark web for any information related to your company that has been leaked, stolen, or sold. Crimson IT can be reached at 310-838-3700 or crimsonit.com. So without further ado, let's get down to it. The first story, as I said, has to do with the NBA. The Memphis Grizzlies plan to honor 3-time All-Star center Marc Gasol by retiring his number when he wraps up his NBA playing career. Quote, Marc has been a dedicated teammate, star player, and pillar of this team for the past 11 seasons, Grizzlies owner Robert Parra said in a statement on the team's official site Friday. He plays with a heart and a passion for the game that helped carry this franchise to 7 straight playoff appearances. But what Marc has done for this organization is about more than just basketball. He was a part of a core group of players that helped shape the identity of this franchise on and off the court and were embraced by the city of Memphis. The statement came in the wake of the team's formal announcement that they traded Gasol to the Toronto Raptors for Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and a 2024 second-round pick. While the trade was an emotional blow for the Grizzlies, it likely hastened the inevitable as Gasol can opt out of his contract in the summer. Rather than watching him leave in free agency, Memphis at least got some assets in return for the 34-year-old, so that was a smart move by the Grizzlies in my opinion. Gasol's name is all over the Grizzlies' all-time record book. According to Basketball Reference, he is first in points with 11,684, first in rebounds at 5,942, first in blocks at 1,135, and first in win shares at 77.6. And as a center, he's second in assists at 2,639 and third in steals at 708. So amazing stats for Gasol. He's definitely probably the best Grizzlies player of all time. You know, Mike Conley's probably a close second. As Perrin noted, Gasol was also instrumental in Memphis' 7 straight postseason trips between 2011 and 2017. The Grizzlies reached the Western Conference Finals in 2013, with Gasol averaging over 17 points, 8.5 rebounds, and over 2 blocks in the postseason. Even though the grit and grind era didn't result in a title, fans will always remember the time fondly. The franchise has also recognized the significance of that run, retiring the jerseys of Tony Allen, number 9, who I don't believe plays anymore, and Zach Randolph, who was involved in the trade deadline. You know, he was traded from the Sacramento Kings to the Dallas Mavericks as a part of the Harrison Barnes trade, that whole famous trade. Yeah, so Tony Allen doesn't play anymore. He last played for the Pelicans, yeah, in 2018. So Tony Allen has a great career as well. But, you know, Gasol's a legend. I was never the biggest fan of his. You know, he was on the Lakers, actually. But he was traded, I believe, either when he was a rookie or before he ever got to play as part of a package for his older brother, Pau Gasol. So that's a pretty funny trade there. But the Lakers, you know, if it wasn't for Pau, they wouldn't win some of the championships that they won. And if it wasn't for Mark, the Lakers wouldn't get Pau. So Marc Gasol indirectly contributed to the Lakers, believe it or not. But, you know, as a Laker fan, the Grizzlies are a team that I just kind of never really liked for some reason. Like, there was never a rivalry with the Lakers and Grizzlies because, you know, Memphis is, like, across the country. But I just never really liked them for some reason. But, you know, there's no... Again, I give credit where credit is due, and Gasol is an absolute legend. You know, he leads them in points, rebounds, and blocks. And as a center, he leads them... He's second and third, respectively, in steals and assists in Grizzlies franchise history. So he's a legend. So now transitioning to more NBA. After keeping him through the NBA trade deadline, the New Orleans Pelicans plan to manage Anthony Davis's workload over the remainder of the season. According to Woj of ESPN, the Pelicans will bring his minutes down from his current average of 37 per game, and they'll potentially refrain from using him in both games of a back-to-back. The Lakers made a major push to acquire Davis before Thursday's trade deadline expired. So, you know, that's the update. Davis will be on a minutes restriction, and he played today. I'll get into that. But we're now going to be switching gears to the MLB. Pretty big blow for the Cleveland Indians. So, you know, they lost one of their best players in Francisco Lindor. I'll get into the details right now. So he is... Cleveland Indians shortstop Francisco Lindor might miss all of spring training after being diagnosed with a right calf strain, according to The Athletic's Zach Meisel. Meisel reported the Indians expect to be without Lindor for 7 to 9 weeks. Lindor was definitely one of the MLB's best players in 2018, having a slashing line of .277, .352, and .519 to go along with 38 home runs and 92 RBIs. His 7.6 WAR ranked 5th among all position players in MLB per Fangraphs. You know, durability has generally been a strength for Lindor. He missed only 3 games in 2017 and 4 games apiece in 2018 and 2016. So, you know, he hasn't been very injury prone at all. Should Lindor's recovery timeline extend beyond 7 weeks, he could be a doubt for opening day against the Minnesota Twins on March 28th. But I believe, you know, he'll be good. He's good. I think he recovers well. He's a great athlete. So I think that he'll be fine and he'll be able to, you know, start opening day for the Cleveland Indians. And baseball is almost back. I'm excited. But we have more basketball to cover, mostly basketball in this episode. Should be to no one's surprise, really. So Boston Celtics general manager Danny Ainge remains confident Kyrie Irving will re-sign with the team should he opt out of his contract in the summer. Ainge discussed the situation Friday in an interview on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, saying, quote, "The way I viewed the situation is that I think a lot of people, because of Kyrie's announcement at the beginning of the year, thought that it was a marriage, and I think that it's more like an engagement, and we're going to get married on July 1st. I think that engagement is still on as far as I know. In my individual conversations with Kyrie, we're still engaged, but we really can't make those vows, sign that contract until July 1st. During a fan event in October, you know, Kyrie famously said that he planned on staying with the Celtics, saying, quote, "If you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing here." The 2018-19 season hasn't quite gone according to plan for Boston. The Celtics are at 35-20, which is a good record, and they're 4th in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, they were considered a title contender in the preseason. And, you know, Kyrie said he was asked about his free agency recently by the media, and he said, "Ask me July 1st. That was definitely not a good sign for the Celtics and their fans. But I think more likely than not, he re-signs with Boston. You know, they have a great team, and he's the best player. He's the alpha on that team. He's the best player, no doubt. And, you know, he might come to the Lakers, might go to the Knicks, but I really see him in a Boston jersey for several more years at least. So now we have more MLB to cover. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are still, you know, unemployed technically. So as pitchers and catchers are set to report to camp within the next week, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are among the free agents still unsigned this MLB offseason. A big reason why those prized free agents have yet to sign on the dotted line could be their asking price. The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal reported on Friday that both Harper and Machado are seeking $300 million deals, and both players, or perhaps their respective agents, are waiting for the other one to sign to set the market. Rosenthal noted that clubs are also willing to wait for the market to play itself out. It said that Chicago White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf would rather other teams engage in a bidding war and then decide if his team will join in once the numbers become clear. Both Harper and Machado have long been expected to challenge Giancarlo Stanton's record $325 million contract, and for good reason. Former Mets GM Jim Duckett spoke about what he heard about the New York Yankees' offer to Machado per SNY Scott Thompson. Quote, "What I was told here recently was the Yankees' offer. These aren't out there, not necessarily in writing, but hypothetical, was somewhere in that 7-year, 8-year range for $220 million. ESPN's Buster only reported in January that the White Sox had offered Machado a 7-year, $175 million deal. Machado's agent, Dan Lozano, vehemently shot that report down, though. Harper had a slash line of 249, 393, 496 with 34 home runs, 34 doubles, and 100 RBIs in 2018, ending his contract year on a high note by hitting 300 after the All-Star break. The 26-year-old earned no shortage of accolades throughout his career. 6 All-Star selections, the 2012 NL Rookie of the Year, 2015 NL MVP, 2015 NL Silver Slugger, and 2018 Home Run Derby champion. Meanwhile, Machado had solid stats himself, having a slash line of 297, 367, and 538 with 37 homers, 35 doubles, 3 triples, and 107 RBIs in 162 games split between the Baltimore Orioles and the Los Angeles Dodgers last year. After establishing himself among the best defensive third basemen in baseball with a pair of gold gloves, he moved over to shortstop for full-time last season. His questionable postseason antics and, quote, Johnny Hustle comments have seemingly hurt his value, as teams are wary of signing him to a long-term deal, which I think is stupid. You know, he's a great player, so the fact that he didn't hustle the first a couple times should not be a reason why the team doesn't sign him, or they should definitely not use that as, you know, publicly as a reason why they didn't sign him. But we're now going to be switching gears to more NBA. We have more NBA to cover, so let's get into it. Acquiring Anthony Davis in the offseason could strengthen the Boston Celtics' chances of re-signing Kyrie Irving. According to the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor, not only would Irving be more likely to agree to a long-term deal with the Celtics, but his return would help Boston keep Anthony Davis beyond the 2019-20 season. Davis can opt out during the 2020 offseason. Ahead of the trade deadline, one fear for the Celtics was that Davis would change teams before that they had an opportunity to make a formal offer to the New Orleans Pelicans. Because of the NBA salary rules, the team can't trade for two players signed to a rookie max extension under the Rose Rule. Irving was on his rookie max when Boston acquired him from the Cleveland Cavaliers. So that's the update. Kyrie may stay with the Celtics long term if they trade for Anthony Davis. So it could be a situation where normally if Kyrie or AD were, either of them were there separately, they wouldn't re-sign long term. But since they have the other one, they might re-sign. So that's a pretty interesting situation if it happens. So we have more NBA to cover. This has to do with the LA Lakers. Los Angeles Lakers president of basketball operations Magic Johnson will meet with the team this weekend after the Lakers' public pursuit of Anthony Davis failed to end in a trade for the New Orleans Pelicans star. According to the Los Angeles Times' Broderick Turner, Johnson will, quote, emphasize that the NBA is a business and that this franchise is about winning championships and doing all it can to accomplish that goal. Johnson will also allow the Lakers players to vent any grievances they might have with the front office. The Lakers were apparently prepared to significantly reshuffle their roster if it meant lending AD before the deadline. So that's that right move by Magic Johnson. You know, he was a player, so he probably, even if he might have never been involved in trade rumors, he's a front office executive as well, so he knows probably what it would feel like as a player, and he could relate to them on a personal level, and he's a legend, so they'll listen to him. But I think the Lakers' chemistry will be fine. A big reason was that huge win in Boston, you know, Rajon Rondo's buzzer beater. Had he missed that shot, we would be having a whole different conversation right about now, but he made it. A huge win, huge confidence builder. We could be in the offseason looking back, or when the Lakers are in the playoffs, looking back at that game in Boston as a reason why the Lakers season really turned around for the better, you know, despite all the injuries and trade rumors and things like that. So now we have more on Bryce Harper and where he might end up. San Francisco Giants president of baseball operations Farhan Zaidi, former Dodger executive, offered a positive update Friday regarding the team's talks with free agent outfielder Bryce Harper. According to Ann Killen of the San Francisco Chronicle, Zaidi said, quote, there's mutual interest on both sides. Henry Shulman and John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle reported that Zaidi, Giants manager Bruce Bochy, and Giants president Larry Bayer met with Harper in Las Vegas this week. The Giants are seemingly making a play for Harper after rarely being mentioned as a suitor for his services throughout the offseason. Harper has been closely linked to the Philadelphia Phillies, Chicago White Sox, and San Diego Padres more recently, as well as obviously a potential return to the Washington Nationals. So that's the latest on Harper. Will he be a Giant? I mean, as a Dodger fan, I would hate that, but we'll see. I mean, I hope they give him lots of years and lots of money, so in case it backfires, they're screwed and stuck with Bryce Harper. That would be ideal if he ends up with the Giants. But I don't, you know, I don't wish him failure, even if he goes to the Giants, which, you know, would suck. So, now switching gears to more NBA, LeBron James had some very interesting comments on the Eastern Conference now that he's not a part of that conference anymore. So a number of Eastern Conference teams were aggressive at the 2019 NBA trade deadline, which may be a result of the LeBron James effect. As in, teams are making a run at the NBA Finals now that James's reign over the conference has come to an end with his signing with the Los Angeles Lakers. Quote, those top teams in the East, yeah, they're going for it, James told The Athletic's Joe Vardon. Toronto's going for it, Milwaukee's going for it, Philly, Boston believes they can do it too. They know they ain't got to go through Cleveland anymore. Everybody in the East thinks they can get to the finals because they ain't got to go through me. You know, James obviously controlled the Eastern Conference from the time that he joined the Miami Heat to the end of his second stint with the Cavs, making 8 consecutive trips to the NBA Finals. But now that he's out West, the conference is up for grabs. You know, the Bucks have a chance, 76ers are great, Boston, Philly, Indiana, even though they lost Oladipo, they've been looking good. But teams around the East have been making moves ever since the King relinquished his throne. The Toronto Raptors, who were eliminated by LeBron and the Cavs in each of the past 3 seasons in the playoffs, traded the face of their franchise in DeMar DeRozan for the San Antonio Spurs' Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. And on Thursday, obviously, the Memphis Grizzlies traded Marc Gasol to the Raptors. The Philadelphia 76ers have been active all season. After acquiring 4-time All-Star Jimmy Butler in November, they acquired Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, and Mike Scott prior to the deadline. Wesley Matthews will likely sign with the Indiana Pacers in a buyout move. So all these Eastern Conference teams are making moves, and you know, it's because LeBron's not there. He's absolutely right about that. So now we have a big story, a very interesting story on boxing/MMA. I really doubt that this is the case, that this is true, but it could be. You know, I wouldn't really be surprised if it is. So Floyd Mayweather Jr. is always looking out for his bank account, so it's surprising he hasn't fought in the UFC based on what the undefeated boxing superstar believes he would get paid for an MMA matchup. Appearing on Kevin Hart's Cold as Balls show, Mayweather said UFC would give him a deal worth at least $1 billion to fight for them. He said, quote, I can go get a deal right now from the UFC, probably $3-5, $4-5 billion deal if that's what I wanted. Mayweather has been linked to UFC on multiple occasions since defeating Conor McGregor in a boxing match in August 2017. Khabib Nurmagomedov's manager, Ali Abdelaziz, told TMZ Sports in December that Mayweather was, quote, begging to fight the UFC lightweight champion. That's a death wish for Mayweather. You know, he's a dead man walking if he fights Khabib. While Mayweather continues to tease the mixed martial arts world, he will bask in the glow of the $275 million that he made last year. You know, he also fought Tenshin Nasukawa, and he made about $9 million for like a couple minutes in an exhibition fight. And I was like, that might have even been fixed. So Floyd knows what he's doing with his money. That's for sure. So now switching gears to college football, the only college football story of this episode. So Ohio State received good news Friday when quarterback Justin Fields was ruled eligible to play in 2019. The NCAA officially granted Fields his transfer waiver request to play for the Buckeyes next season via Brian Hamilton of The Athletic. He was a 5-star prospect in the 2018 recruiting class. He spent his freshman year at the University of Georgia. He only attempted 39 passes last season, playing behind Jake Fromm. Fields announced in January he was transferring to Ohio State. He hired attorney Thomas Mars to help with the NCAA hardship waiver. Following Friday's ruling, Mars issued a statement to ESPN's Adam Rittenberg about the NCAA's decision, saying, quote, I'm happy for Justin and his family and all the Buckeyes fans who've been waiting for this decision, Mars said. Justin's not only a great quarterback, he's also an exceptionally mature and impressive young man. He fully deserved to receive a waiver. Fields will compete to be the Ohio State starting quarterback in 2019 after Dwayne Haskins declared for the NFL draft. The Georgia native completed 27 of his 39 attempts for 328 yards and 4 touchdowns with the Bulldogs. So it was a very smart move for Fields, because he's not going to play as long as Fromm is around with Georgia, so it makes sense for him to transfer. And you know, Dwayne Haskins just left OSU, so he's going to be the clear-cut starter, you know, you would expect. So smart move by Fields, to say the least. So now we have another NBA story, more on Anthony Davis. This was I was pretty surprised by this. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty surprised. I wasn't very surprised, but I was fairly surprised on this. So this is the last story, the last big news story of this episode. So it turns out New Orleans Pelicans fans haven't taken too kindly to Anthony Davis's desire to leave their team. AD returned to the lineup for the first time since January 18th, so almost a month. Davis was overwhelmingly booed by Pelicans fans at the Smoothie King Center prior to Friday's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The news wasn't all bad for Davis, though. ESPN's Michael C. Wright noted the six-time All-Star heard cheers when he put the ball in the basket. Quote, talk about awkward. Every time Anthony Davis touches the ball, he's booed, but when he's pouring in those buckets like the two he scored in the first quarter, everybody cheers loudly, especially on his last make, a nasty step-back jumper. New Orleans' pregame hype video included Davis this time, though, and when he was announced in the starting lineup, there was a mixture of cheers and boos. Clearly, this is a somewhat divided or confused fan base here at the Smoothie King Center. It's been a wild ride since news of Davis' trade demand surfaced. So it's pretty funny, but that's AD and the Pelicans for you. So now we're going to be transitioning or switching gears, as I like to say, to the Los Angeles sports team, starting with the Lakers. The Lakers did not play today. They don't play tomorrow either, but they do play this Sunday against the Philadelphia 76ers on the road at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time. The game's going to be on ABC, so a nationally televised game. And, you know, Reggie Bullock acquired from the Pistons and Mike Muscala acquired from the technically 76ers because he hasn't played for the Clippers in a trade with the Clippers. They're going to be making their debut, so I'm excited for that. The Clippers did not play today either, but they do play tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific time on the road against the Boston Celtics. The two LA teams look to get wins against the Celtics. The Los Angeles Kings did not play today after their 3-2 shootout win last night, but they do play tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time against the Boston Bruins on the road as they look to make it four straight wins. The Kings are making a bit of a late playoff push, and I'm excited for that. The Anaheim Ducks don't play today either. They also play tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time, but they play the Philadelphia Flyers, the team that the Kings just beat in the shootout. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is all we have for this episode of Sean Sports Stop. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, until next time.